Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
Hey, welcome to the Final Inspection Show, Steve Zocchi. And just wanted to start off with some breaking news, of course, with the NFL. Of course, joining me is the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and Mayor Mitch. And the NFL's been doing pretty good with the COVID until just recently, and it's kind of fallen apart a bit here. Of course, the latest news is with the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots having some positive tests. And it certainly got to be frustrating. And you think the powers to be in New York maybe should be calling the NBA, even somewhat the MLB, and, you know, hey, how can we get on top of this thing, right?
Well, MLB didn't do it perfect. You had the outbreaks with the Marlins and the Cardinals. But
after that, it certainly simmered down, though.
It did simmer down, but not only did that hurt those two teams, it affected all the teams down the stretch. You know, it hurt the Brewers having to play all those double headers, that many games. You know, I think they had like six games in 4 days, or six and five, or so, you know, something like that. Just crazy. And it makes it harder to keep your guys healthy and your bullpens fresh and your other players fresh. Now with the NFL, you know, you got the problems now with the Titans and stuff like that. And I think obviously hindsight's always 20/20, but I think they should have sat there and, because of the year and the pandemic, had a 2 week, you either have a bye week in week like eight, and half the teams in week eight, half the teams in week nine, where if you have to make up a game, you just hope that they have the same bye. I think if they, you know, could go back and do it again, they would do something like that.
And I'm really surprised they didn't do that. I mean, if this was a year you would want to put in a second bye for this reason, this would have been it. They did it, they had it, I think, for a couple years, then they went away with it, then I thought it came back for a year or two, and then it's been gone for, I think, at least 10 years now, I think, the double byes. But I was thinking about that when they were saying, you know, when we were going to, you know, when they said, yeah, we're going to have an NFL season, I thought, boy, I was thinking kind of in the back of my head, this would be good time to have two byes in case this does happen, Mitch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 31 and I don't remember there ever being double byes, so I could be
Maybe
wrong.
It's been longer than 10 years.
Maybe it has, but I mean, yeah, like you said, that this would have been the time to do it, right? I don't think anyone expected the NFL to get through this scot-free, especially without a bubble format like you've seen. You know, NBA, NHL, they got lucky. They have smaller traveling parties. You're able to do a bubble with those sports. But, football and the NFL is not going to be able to, just because of, you know, there's a traveling party of probably, what, almost 100 people on each team.
Right.
And, you know, today you get a positive test from as far as we know, just one with Cam Newton on the Patriots, and then I think it was a practice squad QB on the Chiefs, which is kind of ironic that those two teams would test positive when they're supposed to play a, you know, the game of the week tomorrow.
Sure.
And I'm sure some CBS execs and probably Roger Goodell are you know, upset that there isn't going to be their precious game of the week tomorrow, but it sounds like they are going to play it Tuesday. So who knows, though, because with the Titans, you know, it's I think they had three more positives come out this morning. So they're up to, what, like 15 or 20 now?
Oh, and that's what's going to happen.
So they're going to have to monitor this for the next couple of days, and we'll have to see what happens. I think it's going to be important to see what the NFL does going forward and how they manage it, because as you guys just touched on, the Marlins and the Cardinals in baseball had a hell of a time there for, you know, especially the Cardinals. They didn't play a game for, what, three and a half weeks? And they were able to play. I think I saw during the game yesterday, they had a graphic, they played like 53 games in 44 days. And, you know, if this gets much worse, I don't know what the NFL is going to have to do. Other than maybe they shut it down and just put a copy and paste it, you know, 2 weeks from now or something. If it gets, I don't think they're at that point yet. I'm sure there is, you would like to think, a critical mass or a breaking point for the NFL where if, you know, there's eight teams or something that have, you know, double digit numbers, they're probably gonna have to think about doing something like that and quarantining everybody for a couple of weeks and starting over or resuming the season at some point. But I don't think we're quite there yet. But we're going to have to see how this affects the league and how they sort of react to it going forward.
Well, and I hope in some people in the sports media will simmer down and not turn into excitable boys like they did when we had this with the Cardinals, you know, and the Marlins, where, oh, my gosh, shut it down. And, you know, they were able to go ahead and do the season. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's people that study and understand how infections work in that. And you're seeing this with the White House now. And the people, and you got to do the contact tracing. All it takes is one knucklehead. Jeff and I were discussing this before the show. You know, one of the people that tested positive, if you would pick all the players in the NFL, I think that one person would probably be in your top 15 picks, just because, you know, fair or unfairly, it's one of the guys you might have picked. So, you know, all it takes is one guy, and all it takes is, you know, and who knows what these players are doing. Let's face it, you're looking at athletes that are in their early 20s, and they're, you know, they got to get their freak on, let's face it. And all it takes is one person, and then he talks to somebody, and that person talks, and then you have an outbreak. So it's something that, you know, unless you do a bubble, it's going to be really, really hard for everybody to, as they say, toe on the rope on one direction.
To keep their nose clean, yeah.
Exactly, you know, and so it'll be interesting to see how, because I can tell you right now, unless Cam Newton gets a two negatives in the next couple of days, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think the football game's going to happen on Tuesday. I think it's the same thing that happened with the Steelers and the Titans. Even though the Steelers haven't had any positives, but the Titans have an issue, it's going to have to be rescheduled. Well, it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
And the Vikings played the Titans, you know, the week prior. They have had, I think, as recently as this morning, no positive tests. So it hasn't made its way to that team yet. And Atlanta last week, you had AJ Terrell, the cornerback. I think he was a first round pick. You know, one of their starting cornerbacks couldn't play last week against the Bears, and it didn't seem to have affected the rest of the team. So they did something right. So, you know, who knows? It'll be interesting to see what comes out of Tennessee.
That's why I think they can get on top of this thing. It's going to be interesting. And I think all the fans of us who are fans of the NFL hope they do too. And they get on top of this and you know, we can get this season underway, because it's certainly frustrating hearing this news, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, it is. But, you know, I don't care as long as it doesn't affect the Packers. And, you know, that's, I don't know, maybe a little heartless to say. But if it's not affecting, you know, I'm sure I'd feel different if it was affecting Aaron Rodgers than Cam Newton. So obviously I hope everybody gets better and they figure it out and figure out a way to play these games. But unless it affects the beloved, whatever.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. And I guess we can start with the show here. You are listening to the Final Inspection Show. This is a motorsports-based show brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. I haven't heard official word yet from Great Lakes Dragway, whether it's going to be a rainout or not. But I know myself, who lives only probably about 20 minutes from Great Lakes Dragway, we've been having some off and on rain showers. It's just not the best day to be at a racetrack in Wisconsin, but I haven't heard that it's been rained out. But Oz, check out their Facebook page at Great Lakes Dragway, and you can see what's up to date. But they have a full schedule yet, and as we all say on this show, they will run as long as they can throughout the year. So lots of stuff coming up, and make sure you check out Great Lakes Dragway. And also like to thank our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Make sure you check out DavidHobbs.com for the latest and new and certified used Hondas at David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue. And Jeff, certainly quite a week in racing. I mean, chock full of news, and probably the most anticipated news. There's been rumblings about this for last month or so. NASCAR Cup Series coming to Road America July 4th weekend. That is going to be epic, won't it?
Yeah, that's going to be phenomenal. And while the entire weekend schedule for the 4th of July isn't really set in stone yet, we don't know if the Xfinity is going there or whatever. But the same weekend or not, but it is, it's great, and great for Road America, great for Wisconsin. And, again, I'll repeat what I said last week, too many road courses.
Well, we'll be talking more with Dave Coleman from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel coming up at the bottom of the hour, talk about the Road America date, and also reminisce about the first one. The Cup Series did race at Road America back in 1956. And we'll talk more about that, and then also what to expect in 2021 at Road America for the Cup Series. And also some interesting news coming out of NASCAR. NBC, NASCAR and NBC Sports is reporting Atlanta might be heading for a repave and reprofiling, Jeff. Are we going to get rid of this curse of the 1.5 tracks? I said when they did it, they ruined that track. Now, granted, I'm a little, there's reasons for me, and I think a lot of Wisconsin fans are, because in 1992, of course, Alan Kulwicki won the championship at Atlanta in the final race of the year. And at that point, it was a unique track. There was the only track like it. And then what they did, like they've been doing with a few of these tracks, they switch them around, turn the backstretch and the front stretch, vice versa. They put in kind of a pseudo Charlotte / Texas kind of front straightaway in. And I they've had some good finishes there, but I just liked Atlanta was kind of unique to itself somewhat. And I just like the old way. I don't think they're going to go back to the old track, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there at Atlanta, Jeff.
Yeah, it will. And they haven't said what the reprofiling is going to be, whether they're going to bring it back to the traditional oval where it was, or, kind of now how it looks like Charlotte and most of the other cookie cutter tracks. My concern is the repave. Atlanta is such a phenomenal track because the tire fall off is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
You run mm-hmm. five laps there and you're, pretty much a full second behind somebody on fresh tires. And, we've talked a lot about how that massive tire fall off on tracks like that, it opens up many different strategies for the crew chiefs. Do you short pit? Do you keep your guy out there as long as possible? And a lot of that comes down to points and where you're at and all that. But, I just hope that the repave does not ruin the track, because Atlanta has been they've put on really good races the last bunch of years. And, obviously being a Harvick fan, I love it because he's straight dominated there. But, besides the fact that my guy has won there 8 million times in the last handful of years. It's exciting racing, and I hope that the repave doesn't sit there and make it where it's one of those tracks where you can run 50 laps and you're still within a tenth or two tenths of somebody on fresh tires, because to me, that's not exciting.
No, it certainly is not. And then plus we have the 2020 Cup Series schedule that came out, and I want to talk about that coming up next in the next segment. In fact, we got a full show today. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media. We'll talk about the 2020 schedule and some else, and also Talladega, which of course is happening this weekend. We'll talk with the aforementioned Dave Coleman from JS Online, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talk about the Road America date with the Cup Series coming 4th of July weekend in 2021. We do our predictions. Hour two, we'll have John Orovitz, who's been a long time media member, PR rep in the CART series and IndyCar series. He's done a book on PacWest Racing. We'll talk about that, and then also talk about the Harvest GP, where he's at down in Indianapolis this weekend. We'll do our three questions with Larry, and then we'll talk with Eddie Lapine. We have some late-breaking news that happened in Formula One this week, as well as IMSA, some changes coming up in 2021. And then we'll have a really interesting interview with Kurt Busch to finish out that second hour coming up on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. We'll be back with Dennis Michelson after this.
Final Inspection.
Final Inspection.
Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
Hey, welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Yes, it is Dennis Michelson joining the Polish Pipe Bomb and myself. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Great to be here, as always.
I tell you what, a lot of stuff, a lot of news this week in the world of NASCAR. The biggest, of course, being the 2021 NASCAR Cup Series schedule. And we've been saying, all three of us, for the last year, that we're going to see some big changes in 2021, and we certainly have seen that with the new schedule. And I must say, overall, I'm rather pleased with it. I thought they had to make some bold changes. There's a couple tracks that fell off that I'm happy or have been reduced, and there's a couple additions, obviously, that we like. But let's kind of walk through the schedule here. Of course, starts off with the Clash February 9th on a Tuesday night, you know, on the road course. Okay, fine, whatever. They needed to change that up. The duels, of course, on Thursday before the Daytona 500. And, of course, the Daytona 500 starts off February 14th. I guess the biggest change now, they've compressed the schedule a little bit, Dennis, at Daytona. And then the following week, they're going to stay in Florida and go to Homestead and moves to race number two. So what do you think of the schedule so far off with their Florida run to start off the year?
It makes a lot of sense to stay in Florida if they're not going to have the Miami race be the last race of the season. I always loved that racetrack at the end of the season because I thought it was a pretty fair track for everybody. It was pretty racy here in recent years. And, you know, I just kind of thought that was a good track to finish the season at. But if they're going to move the season ender and they want to use Homestead Miami in the most effective way, sliding it into that second spot makes a lot of sense. I have no problem with the Clash being on the road course, show something a little bit new. That event started as a way for the TV guys to test out all the equipment because they weren't used to doing racing. That's why we forget that race was in there. And it was also to hype the Daytona 500. Do you need to hype the biggest stock car race of the year anymore? I don't think so. So I like that move. It gives us something a little bit different on a Tuesday evening. And then moving qualifying to Wednesday, though, it really gets them very weather sensitive. If they get rained out, what are they going to do? Have qualifying on Thursday and then race the duels Thursday evening? That's the only thing.
Or they could have a true qualifying race.
Yeah, I guess, but it kind of ruins the whole idea of having a separate pole day for Daytona and locking in those first two positions, because the duels don't mean anything anymore. The duels just, what, they sort out like six guys that are going to run at the end of the pack anyway?
Right.
You know, unless you go ahead and open it up and say, you know what, I understand we have this charter system, but for the biggest race of the year, just like Indianapolis does for the 500, everybody is on even ground, and the only ones that are guaranteed a spot in the Daytona 500 are the final eight from last year. That would mix it up, and that would make the duels exciting again, because you could have a big team go home. And with the way they've got the chase system now, there's no fear of one team missing a race and being, you know, hundreds of points behind like the old days. So it won't cost them a championship. It just adds more drama for the fans and for the duels and makes them important again. I would go for that idea.
I do the schedule, because I think that bringing qualifying back for the 500, having the clash, the duels, all that stuff, it turns, you know, it keeps Daytona, even in, you know, pandemic times, which we are now, who knows where we'll be in February. It keeps it like a week-long event, you know, speed weeks and all that kind of stuff. My only thing was, you know, one of the reasons why they gave for having Miami race two was that people could travel straight from Daytona, like fans could just add another week and go, you know, from Daytona down to Miami and watch the race down there. And, you know, if you already have a week at the racetrack in Daytona, I doubt that people are going to take the trip south and spend another week at Miami. But well, maybe a lot of people are crazier than I am.
Well, let's pick this up, because we'll be here till about 4 o'clock if we do with a schedule like this. Let's pick it up then a little bit. Then they move to the West Coast, which they have done in the past. Auto Club Speedway, Las Vegas, Phoenix. Come back to Atlanta. Atlanta there is more towards the end of March, which I think is better, especially for weather. One of the big changes here is the Bristol Dirt Race. Yes, they're going to put dirt on Bristol for the first race of the year. Dennis, I want to get your opinion on that in just a moment here. One of my concerns, though, is that March 28th date for dirt. It'll be interesting to see if that's advantageous, good, or what. I thought they maybe could have moved it back or down a few slots, because they got Martinsville and Richmond after that. I thought maybe Bristol would have been better more towards the middle of April. We have Talladega, Kansas, Darlington, Dover, and then COTA. I want to talk about COTA here in just a minute, but let's revisit the Bristol Dirt Race. Dennis, the World of Outlaws raced at Bristol when they had dirt, I want to say about 15 years ago or so. There's concern to that because you're going from basically a 1,400 pound sprint car to a 3,400 cup car, a lot heavier car. But supposedly the technology has changed enough where they think they'll be able to pull this off. What says you?
Well, I don't know. I was there. It was 2000 and 2001 that I believe they did the dirt races there, and there was nothing wrong with the dirt racing. It was kind of average, to be honest with you. I was not thrilled as a fan of dirt track racing. About the only thing that made it interesting is the fact that it was at Bristol and they were doing some serious speeds on the high banks, but they did tear up the track a bit. Now, that's sprint cars with a lot of torque and big motors. You go ahead and put a 3,400 pound stock car on the dirt, I don't know what that's going to do. I don't know what the length of the race is going to do to that track as it wears in and stuff like that. I don't know what coming on and off the pits to pavement in the pits and changing tires is going to do when you go back up on dirt. There's a lot of uncertainty there. I guess that is part of the deal. Is it just a gimmick, though, is my problem with it? And you're right about the weather. I mean, March 28th, they'll get the race in just fine 99% of the time, but it's going to take a couple of weeks to prep that track, and it can be pretty cold in early March in Bristol, Tennessee. So I'm just worried about getting that track ready on time and being able to do it. You know, their bailout is if they have rain or have bad conditions, they can do it on the following Saturday, which is Easter Sunday weekend. So I think there's a possibility of having a week built in of a saving grace if they need it.
Now, hopefully they won't need it, and hopefully it'll be unseasonably warm down there, because as soon as they announced they were putting dirt on Bristol, I went and bought tickets, so I'll be there for that race. I cool. did think Kurt Busch made some interesting comments about it, saying that with the heat that the stock cars produce, that they are going to straight cook that dirt. And he said that the cars will be going so darn slow that it's going to look absolutely ridiculous. I hope that doesn't happen. You mentioned the gimmick aspect of it, Dennis, and I could see that happening, but I hope it's successful. We all love the truck race at Eldora. So hopefully this works and works out well for NASCAR.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how that works off. I mentioned before I let off on this, basically first half of the schedule. I know Jeff is real excited about Circuit of the Americas coming onto the schedule May 23rd. Then we do Charlotte on the traditional Memorial Day weekend. Then we have another road course at Sonoma. And then a couple of changes coming up, of course, is the All-Star race now moves to Texas in the second weekend of June. And then the following weekend after that is the Nashville Super Speedway. It's just interesting with Nashville, the concrete track comes to the NASCAR Cup Series schedule. NASCAR also is getting an IndyCar race. Not at the fairgrounds, which a lot of people say is the best track in Nashville, which is not being used. And they're racing downtown on a street circuit. So it's interesting. Nashville gets two races, but neither is at what a lot of people think, and I think Dennis might agree with me, might be the best track out in Nashville, which is the at the fairgrounds. Dennis, you any feedback on that?
Absolutely love that Nashville fairgrounds racetrack, but the big problem is there's no safer barriers there, and there's no pit stalls that could, or pit space that could accommodate an entire, 40 car, 36 car, I guess, NASCAR field now. So that would be the problem. There's not enough pit space. That would be an issue. And, as much as I love the Fairground Speedway, it's more of a late model track, in my opinion. Yeah. Used to be, they used to run the NASCAR guys there, but that was back in the day when the bodies could be beaten and banged on. You had the open wheel wells, and you didn't have anything in the front that they could get broken up. So that was a track that was really good for beating and banging. I do like the Circuit of Americas on the schedule. I'm kind of surprised it didn't go a little bit earlier in the season with that and move some of the races like Atlanta back maybe a week or two. But the one change that you didn't mention that maybe a lot of folks are overlooking is the fact that Darlington gets power added to the engines this year. At both Darlington events, we're going to get the high horsepower, low downforce package, and that's going to bring back good racing. I was just imagining all the greats of NASCAR history rolling over in their graves when they heard guys about not having to lift going into turn one at Darlington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the races that they had there this year were exciting. The change of the All-Star race to Texas, I could care less where the All-Star race is. I watch it every year because it's racing, and I'm disappointed in it every year because it usually sucks. Dennis, you think Eddie's going to do something like put a ring of fire that they're going to have to jump through, or they've got to go over a moat with sharks with laser beams on their head or something like that to make it actually interesting?
Well, if anybody is going to do it, it'll be the guy that I still think was the illegitimate son of Humpy Wheeler. You know, because Eddie is just creative with the stuff that he comes up with. But here's for the NASCAR guys. Why didn't they think about this? Well, I guess because they wanted to be at Nashville Super Speedway and not at the fairgrounds. You could have held the All-Star race at the NASCAR Fairgrounds Speedway. How cool would that have been? And, you know, maybe you could have done the All-Star race at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway and then go to the Nashville Super Speedway on Father's Day the next week. Now, that would have been really cool. Of course, Texas Motor Speedway would be suing NASCAR again for losing a date. I think it was a reasonable swap for them to get the All-Star race instead of two cup dates.
All right, moving forward here, then we have the Pocono doubleheader, which I'm fine with, and then the aforementioned Road America, yippee, at July 4th weekend. We're happy about that. Atlanta again, so Atlanta gets a second race. New Hampshire's down to one race. Watkins Glen, Indy Road Course. Two road courses in a row. Jeff is really excited about that. I can just hear it. His legs are shaking in excitement. We have Michigan and then Daytona once again. I like that. I like Daytona as the last regular season race on the schedule. And then for the playoff races, we have Darlington once again. So Darlington's second race. Richmond, Bristol, Las Vegas, Talladega, the Charlotte Roval, another road course Jeff is excited about. Texas, Kansas, Martinsville, and Phoenix. Kansas is a meh track to me. I'm just not excited about Kansas. But I'm one of the tracks that's gone, Loudon, I'm kind of surprised by that. I wasn't a big fan of Loudon, but I guess I was surprised that they did leave. I thought maybe one. I guess I would have been happy with one Kansas, one Loudon track. Dover, I'm happy is only one race. I'd actually, if I had a choice to knock off one, I would have knocked off Dover over Loudon. I know I've been on that, been talking about that for years on this show. I hate Dover. It's a personal thing with me, but just never liked it. But Dennis, feedback on the rest of the schedule.
I thought there was one race at New Hampshire July.
I missed that. I went over that. Yeah. New Hampshire.
So Dover and New Hampshire both losing a race. I'm okay with
right.
I just wish instead of making Daytona the last race, I would have maybe made the Indianapolis Road Course the last race of the regular season, switching things around and making Daytona on October 31st. As an elimination in the round of eight to get to the championship race and move Kansas up earlier in the schedule. October 24th for Kansas Speedway is, you know, I know traditionally they've been an October date,
yeah.
But October, getting that late in October for Kansas is sort of begging for some problems from some stormy weather, not necessarily snow, but they tend to get some pretty good stormy weather towards the end of October and, you know, then get some pretty nasty cold weather in on the backside of that. So that's pretty late for them. But, you know, overall, I mean, there's always going to be little tweaks that you could do. I'm still not a fan of that Charlotte Roval. I know I'm in the minority on that one. I love the fact that they're coming to Road America, though, because if you're going to do more road course racing, do real road courses, and in
yes.
my opinion, the Indianapolis road course qualifies as a real road course. That thing is pretty sporty, and I've seen full-size sports cars, you know, Corvettes and the like, put on a really good show on that infield road course. I would like to see them use the other chicane area, the other area down there in turn one, but I know they traditionally don't do that. When it comes to anything other than motorcycles and F1. But I'd love to see them have that tricky little section as well, because that's a good passing zone with a good braking zone down there and then getting back on the gas, coming back on to turn one. But I'm good with the extra road courses. you know, but I think if you're going to add more road courses, get rid of the doggone Roval and have one race at Charlotte under the high horsepower, low downforce rule set and see if that gives us better racing at the intermediate tracks.
Yeah, throw on 15 more road courses. Why not? Dennis, we're running out of time here. We got Xfinity later today and Cup tomorrow. Who are your picks if you're heading to the window?
Well, Xfinity, I'm going to take whoever's driving a Joe Gibbs car. That's always my pick on the Xfinity side. And on the NASCAR side of things for the Cup division, I'm going to take Kevin Harvick. And just going to give you a quick reminder to go over to fakepigskin.com. If you need help with your fantasy sports football picks, because, of course, I'm over there all the time.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dennis. We certainly appreciate it. And thanks for coming on the show. We'll post those picks after the show, of course, as we always do. And coming up next, we're going to talk with Dave Coleman from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the big news with the NASCAR Cup Series coming to Road America right after this on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It is Dave Coleman from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Once again, Dave, thank you for taking time out, as you are you're being a youper today.
Just about, yeah. I couldn't go much farther north than and stay in Wisconsin. So, I did visit the 51st state there earlier today. So, yep.
I've always said this. Once you get north of Wausau, it's Canada. So,
not quite.
I know, but of course, the big news is the NASCAR Cup Series coming to Road America in 2021. It's been rumored for a while, and kind of walk us through. You have an excellent article, of course, that you can our listeners can access at jsonline.com, and kind of walk us through how this all came about, please.
Well, this is really interesting. I think certainly that's one of the questions that's been asked like forever, almost as long as I've been doing this, maybe as long as I've been doing this. When are you going to get a cup race? When are you going to get a cup race? When are you going to get a cup race? Then, you know, Nationwide at that time, that was a good place in 2010 when the mile had its trouble. That was a great place for it to land and stay in this area and, you know, serve Wisconsin with the what's now the Xfinity Series. And then so the question heated up. When are you going to get a cup race? When are you going to get a cup race? You know, it got louder and louder. And certainly that first good year there, that was really made things look promising. And then it tailed off a little bit. Like, you know, you kind of expect that, I guess. And I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it wouldn't have surprised me just as much if Xfinity didn't come back. You know, I mean, if they just kind of, if that was heading in the wrong direction, why do you do it? That kind of thing. And then by that point, they had, or were about to get IndyCar back. So, you know, in my mind, it kind of could have gone either way then. So it is interesting. I would certainly much rather go this direction, let's add a cup race, than then let's lose the Xfinity Series. I think sure. The place put on, it's certainly, well, for us to sit here and talk about what a great racetrack it is just a waste of everyone's time, because they all know that. It's a, you know, fabulous place, and you know, great racing should be there. So the interest in road racing in the NASCAR community has grown in the time that the series has been at Road America, so that all kind of plays into this. And obviously now the series is going to six road course / fake course / whatever next year, kind of doubling the amount. So obviously this is what people want or what they think people want. And it'll be obviously they're gearing up. I mean, they're ready for their biggest event by far, based on everything I've seen here in the last couple of days. So it'll be the next 9 months will be interesting.
Yeah, Dave, and we all know, you know, great track, and I'm sure that Wisconsin fans will turn out huge, and the place will just be, you know, probably sold out for the 4th of July Cup race. What can Road America do to make it where they don't have 15-minute cautions? Because, you know, every time they run the Xfinity Series there, this last time was just a complete embarrassment at the end of the race, how long those cautions took. What can they do to speed that up?
Yeah, that's well, now I'm going to be careful. But, yeah, the question immediately after when are you going to get a cup race was, what am I supposed to do during a caution? Because, holy cow, they're ridiculously long. And we know it's a four-mile lap, so that plays into it. I don't know. I mean, I think it's been nice to see what IndyCar has been able to do in getting some of that clean up, some of the debris stuff done without a caution. Anything they can do that way, and that's very early in my conversation with Mike Kircher, track president and GM. That was one of the things. I mean, the two complaints about NASCAR at the track are the cautions are ridiculous, and fan access to the show is so limited compared to what the other weekends there are like. So, I mean, what can Road America do? I don't know what Road America can do. Road America can beg and plead on behalf of the fans. but NASCAR runs that. You know, NASCAR runs race control, and their procedures are you pack up the field behind the pace car and then blah, 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 blah. You know, they're just this sort of the list of procedures that they use at Bristol is the same as the procedures they use at Road America to a certain degree. So, yeah, it just the place behaves a whole lot different. The race unfolds a whole lot different when you're doing that on a short track versus when you're doing that on 4 miles. Anything you can do to get a half-lap caution or something, you know, with a pace car on the backside or three pace cars or whatever, to get that field packed up and ready to pit, you know, the next time they come around rather than taking a lap to get it all sorted out and then come around. And then, of course, you have the stage breaks, which make it all that much worse because you automatically have a couple of unnatural cautions built into it in addition to whatever you're going to get. So they are, at NASCAR's request, insistence, whatever, they're doing some stuff. They're going to be doing some stuff with runoffs and what they describe as recovery areas. I hope that doesn't translate to long places where you can drive outside the racetrack on the other side of the curbing, because I don't like that. But I think some of that will be intended to keep people from going too far off in gravel traps unnecessarily or too often, or, you know, keeping them out of tire walls where it takes longer to clean up than if you just have to give them a shove. So so much of that is out of the racetrack's hands, unfortunately. So I think begging and pleading is is about the best thing that the track itself can do. Much of the rest is up to NASCAR.
One of the other articles that you wrote in when this Road America news broke, you did an awesome article on Rex White, NASCAR Hall of Famer, who's actually one of the living drivers from that first race in 1956. Paul Goldsmith being the other one. I have to ask you. You said three of them are still alive. I was not able to come up with the third one. You can tell me that in just a moment, but kind of tell us how this the story with Rex White came about, because I was
Let me go ahead to that third guy, and that was a last minute thing that I went through, and I mean I have to trust Racing Reference because you know some of these guys are there were what eight or nine Hall of Famers in that race. There were also a bunch of guys that you really have to be knowledgeable to have any idea who they are. And And the third guy was one of those guys.
Was
not a name that
Bill
I recognized.
Was it Bill
Amick? No.
Oh, who was the third
guy? No, it was up higher. The bottom line is it's somebody that, you know, yeah, you probably hadn't
heard of. You probably
didn't
hear about. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. This was one that is somewhere, maybe 6 or 8 years ago, I said to myself, geez, it would have been really nice when Road America first came back, NASCAR first came back to Road America to find somebody from that first race. And there would have been, at that point, another four guys or something like that, mm-hmm. including Junior Johnson, right? Who's although the first one out in that particular race, unquestionably one of the stars of the day. So it's just something that I had in my mind for a while, and usually an idea that sits in my head for 4 or 5 years is doomed. It's not coming back out. But when this started when the talk heated up that Road America might legitimately be on the calendar, and it was on draft schedules that teams were seeing and whatnot, I reached out to some people who know a little bit more about history than I do, and said, hey, do you know anything about Paul Goldsmith? Is he in good shape? He'd be 94. He's the guy that, fourth place finisher, was alive in that race, is still alive. And he said, well, what about Rex White? Oh, sure. I'll take whoever he can find, So the NASCAR Hall of Fame finally tracked Rex down. He keeps pretty low profile, and I think he'd been through some health issues, so he was just a little that much harder to track down. And when you're 90, sure. If you misplace your cell phone, hey, people are going to forgive you, So it was great to catch up with him. And, he's sharp. There's no question about it. You get to that point, we're talking about a race that's 65 years ago. He raced whatever, how many hundred times. You question the details a little bit. But still a heck of a story, and to find Sports Illustrated coverage of that day certainly helped. That had that was a good get. So I was really happy to be able to do that. I talked to Rex within hours of the actual announcement being done, so we could say that it is happening, and they ought to invite you to come up for it. He didn't say no. I didn't have the power to invite him, but that's something to think about. It was fun. Anytime you can talk to somebody like that, such a part of the history. Steve, I know history buff, a historian you are. Based on the number of times I've come to you, that's not my strong suit, but I sure do appreciate that. That there are people like that still around, and it is a treat to get to talk to them. Absolute. It was the best 20 minutes I spent this week.
Yeah, it is. And I've had a couple, actually quite a few over the last 10 years to speak with Paul Goldsmith. In fact, actually I hosted a dinner in Chicago where he was one of the guests of honor. And he just hit 95 a couple days ago. Sharp as a tack, goes to work every day. He owns an airport in Griffith, Indiana, and he teaches pilots to this day on jets to get their multi-engine ratings on passenger jets, most of them from China and that. But Paul actually told me a neat story where he went up there. He was running for Smokey Unick. And he got up there a few days early, and a gentleman that they had a preliminary race with foreign cars, Jaguars, yeah. and Alphas and whatnot. And a gentleman asked Paul if he would race his Jag, and Paul said sure, and he ended up winning the race. So first time at Road America, Paul Goldsmith won the race, and yeah, he's just a neat fella too. And I don't know if he still flies. I know he was flying like a year or two ago. And just an amazing, amazing guy. And, yeah, he's certainly and I guess it was Johnny Allen, I guess, is still alive, which is surprising. I've had no – haven't heard anything on Johnny Allen recently. But, he actually was a kind of a journeyman driver in NASCAR for many, many years. And if I recall, I drove until about the mid-60s. So driving for the great Spook Crawford in that race in 1956. So, Dave, we certainly appreciate you taking time out. And we're running up against a break here. And once again, if you have a chance and you haven't, make sure you subscribe to JS Online. They always have specials and whatnot. Online only. If you want a paper, you can get that too. But lots of options. And Dave, we certainly appreciate you taking time out.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
All right. That was Dave Coleman on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
If applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com.
We'll come back. We'll do a quick segment on predictions. And then after the top of the hour, we'll talk to John Orowitz on his PacWest book and what's happening in Indianapolis on the Harvest Grand Prix coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.